I've asked a few individuals to come up and share with us what God has been doing in their own lives over the past 6 to 12 months. And the first grouping that I want to ask to come up on stage, that's why we have these chairs, is Sapna and also Kelvin. So if you would join me on the stage, we want to welcome you. And I guess to start it off, do you know what these two have in common? There are at least two things that I know of that they have in common. So what was just Singapore? That's the first thing. What's the second thing? Asian, I heard. Okay. What? Glasses? Okay, I guess there's more things. There's one more thing. Black hair? Their job? Engineer? Yeah, Google. All right, so Google, our Googlers, have a seat and take the mic. And they're just going to share a little bit with us about what God's been doing and just, you know, some of you may know their stories already. Some of you may have heard tidbits, but I think it's really good for our whole church community to be able to really hear God's faithfulness in your lives. So, Sapna, why don't you start us off? We met you about, what? Over a year ago, right? Was it? And so maybe you can take us back to how you first met us and what God has been doing over these last 12 months. Okay. And use the mic.
Can you hear me? Okay. So in fact, I did not know this was an interview format.
No. So we're not going to interview. I won't interview, but I might ask clarifying questions.
Okay.
So you can look at your notes. That's not a problem.
So in fact, I prepared like a sharing. Okay, never mind. Okay, so thanks, Douglas, for giving me this chance to share my journey from Singapore to the U.S. Okay, so I've lived in Singapore for many years, and Singapore is very close to the part of India I come from. So, in fact, Kerala is 3.5 hours straight flight from Singapore. So it's like, for me, the weather is the same, and I was very happy there. And I've never been to the U.S., and I had no desire to come to this part of the world. To me, it was like so far off, you know, I don't even bother to think about it. So, and so that's fine. But sometime after I joined Google, I was transferred to this group of which I'm part of now. And I started traveling here on a regular basis. And I did a Google search, church near me. I was looking for an evangelical church within walking distance of where I was staying, and this church came up. And, I did not know any Christians in Google. I did ask a couple of people, and they all looked at me very weirdly. You know, something, you know, what are you asking? I don't know. So I thought in the U.S., you know, in tech companies, you're not supposed to ask these things. So then I was praying to the Lord, Lord, show me, you know, somebody who's Christian. And when I saw this church, I came here. And the first person I met was Margaret. And she asked me, oh, where are you from? I said, Singapore. She said, let me get my husband. And, you know, and he turned out to be Singaporean and Googler. You know, it's like combo. God answered so many questions and so many, you know, prayers all at once. And so I started coming here regularly. And I think that's God's way of working. He kind of settled me in this family before revealing the next step, you see. So, you know, kind of settled me here. I was very comfortable listening to Singaporean Singlish from Kelvin sometimes about Singapore. Wai is also from Singapore, so it was really nice. Yeah, and then sometime last year, in the first half of last year, God, the group asked me to transfer here, and because most of the activities were being consolidated here. Okay, so that is when my journey with the Lord started. So what I prepared to share was two things that he taught me. Anything you want to ask now?
No, please continue.
Okay, I think the first thing he taught me was obedience, obeying the Lord. I think it's very easy to ask somebody else to obey. And I have done that, you know. I would tell my children, you must obey the Lord, you know, whatever he wants you to do. And even so to sisters and brothers in Christ, I would always tell them, you know, in Bible studies, fellowships, you know, we encourage, oh, we must obey the Lord. But when it came to myself and when I sensed that God was asking me to move here, I thought it was totally crazy, you know. It's totally irrational to move here. So I decided this is not from God. So I really prayed, Lord, you give me a, you know, you can transfer to other groups in Google. So I really prayed, Lord, give me another role here. And I started, you know, looking for other roles in Singapore. But something stopped me, you know. There would be no peace. When you start doing that, there is no peace. You somehow feel very restless about it. So you are not able to make progress. Yeah. Even when others ask you from the other groups, what do you think you're going to do? Do you want to investigate this, this? I just was not able to go forward. So I thought, that's strange. So then I thought, maybe it is time to stop working, you know. You know, you can kind of stop working in Google and look for another job. So I said, yeah, let me discuss with my husband. Because, you know, internally we are all very good at least for me, I'm good at using the verses as it suits me. So, you know, it's, I thought, let me talk to my husband. Because wives submit to your husbands, right? So maybe he will say, no, don't go so far off. And, you know, and that's great. I don't need to say no. So I talked to him and he said, oh, that's great. It's an opportunity for you. You just go. Yeah, and I will join you, he said. Yeah, and then I said to the Lord, Lord, my son is starting military service, so I need to be there, you know, to kind of support him. And the Lord said so clearly, it is I who take care of him, not you. So there was no more excuse, yeah. So that's about the obedience to the Lord. And I think God is so good. There was one Sunday I was preparing to come to this church and I was praying about something else. And the Lord spoke so clearly. He said, get ready to move. Yeah. And I was thinking, I started interpreting it differently. I said, oh, maybe move means he's moving me up in my, you know, position. It's not moving me here, you know. It's. But he's so merciful that he kind of helped me. I started praying. And I read this this saying by I think A.W. Tozier. So he said that prayer is really helping us to prefer God's will over our own will. Okay, so it's that is what prayer did for me, and God helped me to do it. And in that period, all the sermons I would hear, not on purpose, or everything would be obedience. Leaving your place and going where God wants you to go. It's, everything is about that. It's really very strange, you know. Yeah, so that's obedience. So that's the first thing I learned. And the second thing is, provision from the Lord. So I still was living in denial, so I would tell the people to pray, if it is God's will, I should get the visa, you know, to come here. Yeah, though I knew it was God's will, I would tell everyone, oh, please pray that. Even Kelvin, I think I told him, if it's God's will, and Margaret also. Yeah, but the visa process was so smooth. The guy just, he just looked, 3 minutes, I think, he looked at everything and said, yeah, yeah. And the next day he stamped and I got it so fast. So I realized something that is very important for us to remain in the center of God's will and to just obey him. And He sends the provision to where he asks you to go. So I saw an Instagram post on that which said, the Lord sends his provision to where he told you to go. So, you know, if you remember Elijah, right, God told him, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So, and it was exactly like that. When I came here, first, my son's military service was postponed so he could join my husband to come here. And in 3 weeks' time, we got a place to stay, a vehicle. Everything was done so beautifully. And he sent people to help, Margaret, Kelvin. And I think we got the house at the last moment, so much more than I can ask for or imagine. And we needed money on that Monday afternoon. And we contacted Douglas. He just said, which form you want the money, as a check or as cash or whatever. So God provided everything. And and I think one more thing God taught me in this journey is I used to think that I've done him a great favor by, you know, obeying him. you know, I obeyed the Lord. And I used to kind of speak like that. Then I realized I'm totally wrong. It's really my privilege to obey him. It's really a humble privilege to obey him. So I don't know why he's brought me here, but here I am.
Well, we're very happy he brought you here. And we praise Thank God you. For you and meeting your husband and your son. And we look forward to your husband when he comes yes, later yes. this year. So thank you so much, Sapna, for sharing with us.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Kelvin, the other one of several Singaporeans now, right? Kelvin, tell us a little bit about what God's been doing in your life and how he brought you here. Well, I guess to the States. It's a long story, but I know you'll sum it up.
Yeah. Okay, so can you guys hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah. By the way, this is something that I had shared already at the San Jose Church a couple of weeks ago. So some of you might have heard this. So this is a repeat broadcast, but still, it's God's story, and I'm always happy to share it, what he's done for me. So I think many of you know. So firstly, for those of you who don't know, I am a software engineer. I work at Google, as was already mentioned. But one thing that maybe not a lot of you know is, you know, I've actually wanted to be a software engineer from a very young age. I learned programming when I was 10, and that was just something that I really love to do. I'm like, oh wow, do people actually get paid to do this? Like, don't you like, shouldn't you pay to do this? You know, like, you know, and everybody's like, oh, okay, if they want to pay me, you know, I guess, you know, I could make this a career. So I guess for me, this has always been an area of passion. Like, I've always loved just building things and, you know, in the software realm. That just was something that connected with, you know, my skills, and also just, I just love the beauty of, like, okay, you can like type some code and like a computer does what you tell it to do, and you can compose that into really, you know, marvelous things. So I mean, it's just the simple beauty of that. I think the beauty of creating things, the beauty of, you know, being able to exercise that creativity, right? And yet do it, you know, in a more mathematical, rigorous, scientific, you know, type of structure. You know, I think the combination of those things really appealed to me. So this was something that I've really love growing up in Singapore. You know, I've always wanted to be a software engineer. So, you know, I just got onto that path from a very early age. But, you know, as I said, I grew up in Singapore. I worked in Singapore for a few years as a software engineer. And you know, there were various things that happened there at that stage. But at some point, I decided that maybe I wanted to try coming here to the Bay Area. There were a few reasons. The most important reason was the fact that I was dating Margaret at the time, and she was here. Right, we were long distance. We met in college, right? And we, you know, and I was in Singapore, and she was here in the Bay Area, and I, you know, wanted to close that gap. But also, it was just exciting. Like, as a software engineer, you know, this is Silicon Valley. It's like the promised land. You know, I mean, it's true. If you're an engineer, this is like the promised land, right? And actually, when I told my colleagues in Singapore, you know, as I said, I was already working there. But when I told my colleagues about it initially, they were like, "Wow, that's like everyone's dream." You know, I mean, you know, there was just this tone of like, oh, you know, almost, right? That's like, okay, wow, you're going to California, to the Bay Area. I mean, can't believe it, right? You guys who live here, but people feel that way, you know, especially in the tech industry. There's just this aura that, like, it's like, wow, you're stepping into the promised land, right? So really, in the eyes of the world, this was like a no-brainer opportunity. Like, who wouldn't want to go to the promised land if they had an opportunity? Right. And you know, I'm not going to get into all the details, but you know, by God's grace, I did come and I did have an opportunity here. I first worked at eBay for a few years, and then I found a job at Google, and that's where I am now. Right? And yeah, it's been great. And really, you know, a lot of times when you tell people you work at Google, they look at you and they're like, "Wow, Google!" You know, it's like it's a company with such a reputation. It sounds, you know, like, yeah, impressive to say that you work at Google. And there are a lot of things that on the surface make it sound like a dream job. I mean, many of you probably have heard about the kinds of perks that we have, and many of you work in tech companies right now, and Jay, you're about to intern at Google starting tomorrow. but you know, you hear about some of the things like, okay, you know, we have free food every day. We have nap pods that you can sleep in during the day. You know, we earn good salaries. You know, the work is challenging. You know, we work on products that, you know, basically everyone around the world has heard about. So it sounds really, really impressive. It's like, this is a dream job. Isn't it a place where you're guaranteed to be happy? It's like I said, it's the promised land. It sounds perfect, beautiful, right? Well, sorry to burst your bubble, but of course, I soon discovered that the reality was quite different. And again, sorry, Jay, you're about to start your internship. But really, the reality is, you know, even a great company, and I'm sure Sapna can testify to this too, even a quote-unquote great company like Google, it's really just as broken as anywhere else, right? I mean, one of the very first things I realized as soon as I got into the company is that pretty much everybody complains about the food. Like, the free food, like the, you know, like, everybody. You, we've probably both complained about it too, right? So, but it's true, right? People go like, you know, why is it the same few dishes every single week? It's like, all some of my colleagues have been there a while. It's like, man, this food is so much worse than it used to be, like, how many years ago, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's just like, it's like, it's free food, but, like, people are just complaining about it all the time. Like, and that's just really one tiny aspect of it. I mean, if it's only about free food, that's not too bad, you know, but there's a lot more to it than that. I mean, I think this is a symptom of a much greater rot or problem, right? I mean, you know, even just this grumbling spirit, it reminds me a lot of the Israelites grumbling in the desert. You know, it's like, we get manna from God every day, but it's like, oh, this manna. I mean, it's really the same thing, right? And really, as I said, the brokenness goes far deeper than just the food. You know, one of the things I realize is, people are really striving for success, you know, within this environment. And again, this is probably not unique to Google, but just, you know, I think like across the tech industry, and I'm sure many other industries too, right? I see a lot of people coming here and really seeking, you know, quote unquote, fame and fortune. You know, people here really like, you know, like the ambition of like doing great things, or you know, if you start your own startup, people look at you with like awe and respect, right? It's like, no, that's a very great ambition, right? Or maybe a lot of people, you know, they're just seeking wealth, seeking to be financially independent, seeking early retirement, getting a nice big house, a fancy car, you know, all that kinds of thing, right? And I hear a lot about this, you know, all around me. Like, I really hear, like, these are the things that my colleagues talk about. I mean, you know, it's so easy to come to the company and say, oh, what a great, noble mission. But really, every day you see, you know, this is what is motivating people in their hearts, you know, every single day. I mean, this is really no different from anywhere else, right? And at the end of the day, this is ultimately the pattern of the world, right? I mean, this is the pattern of the world. This is the culture around us. It's ultimately a spiritual bondage, you know, a bondage to a performance-driven spirit, right? A bondage to a spirit of self-reliance, independence. I was like, I must prove myself. I must show everyone what I can do through my own abilities. I see that all around me. And I think my sharing here is really just, I wanted to say, you know, when I came into that environment as a Christian, I honestly found it a struggle. And I wish I could tell you that, okay, I come into this and like I'm salt and light and I will change everything. But honestly, it was a struggle, right? If, you know, because of this kind of performance-driven mindset and the expectations and just the worldly culture. I mean, it's just really hard. You know, I ended up working very long hours. You know, I felt tired and exhausted at the end of every week. I felt disappointed and discouraged. You know, it's just like, oh, you know, is this how it's supposed to be in the promised land? Right? And I wrestle with deeper questions. So how do I live out my faith? You know, this is supposedly one of the best companies in the world to work at, right? If you look at those rankings, and yet it's a struggle. Right? So how do I live my life as a follower of Christ in the midst of such worldly values? You know, and how can I be salt and light? How can I bring a different spirit as a software engineer? Like, what does that actually look like? I think that was the big struggle. And I'm sure, again, many of you, to varying degrees, have struggled with similar types of questions too. Right? And I think, you know, I think this is still something that I'm struggling and learning about. But I can tell you that certainly God has taught me a lot of things through this journey so far. Right? I think the main thing is, you know, as God tells us in Romans, we are not to be conformed to the pattern of this world, right? But we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We have to have a different mindset. We have to have a kingdom mindset. We have to see things from a different perspective. And I think two of the ways in which God has renewed my mind, one of them is actually very similar to what Sapna just shared, which is put God at the center, right? Like, really, I have to find my purpose in Him. You know, I cannot find my purpose in my work. I cannot define my identity as I am a software engineer, you know, and then therefore I do other things, right? But, you know, instead I have to find my purpose in God. You know, I am a child of God. I'm, you know, beloved by the Father, right? I'm redeemed by Jesus. You know, I'm sanctified by the Holy Spirit. I have to really take hold of that, and then I can take that and infuse that into my work. Not the other way around, right? I can't start from my work and then try to build up all those other qualities, right? So just remembering that I'm no longer a citizen of this world, right, but a citizen of God's kingdom, right? And then once you do that, then it really empowers you to go out and be a living sacrifice, to do your work with a totally different motivation. You know, like even the mundane things, like, you know, again, as an engineer, I'm writing code, I'm going to meetings, I'm doing all that stuff, but I can actually do it as a sacred offering to God. You know, sometimes it's so hard to bridge that connection. Like, we come here on Sundays and yes, you know, we sing praises and we can talk about things that are edifying to our spirit. But then what about when you go into work and you have your meetings and you have to deliver things? You know, how about that? And I think we really have to recognize that this sacred versus secular dichotomy is really not biblical, right? Our entire lives are meant to be lived as a living sacrifice to God. So, yeah, and really at a practical level, I mean, in order to do that, the only way to do that is to be anchored in God's word and in his family, which means I really just have to be very deliberate about casting my mind back to the greater things, right, to the things of the kingdom. And I think for me personally, one of the biggest ways that that happens is actually through, you know, our Friday small group, through our fellowship groups. You know, Sabna and I and a few others here, and we're part of a Friday night small group. We try to meet every week, right? And whenever we worship together, we encourage each other. Whenever we pray together, I think that really is one of the main ways in which God restores my focus. Every single week, you know, all the time, he just recenters my attention on who he is, right, and recenters my attention on what, you know, our real mission is, and really how that we can then reflect God's beauty, right? Like in our work, we actually can glorify God. Like I said, I really enjoy building things. I really enjoy being an engineer. But if I do that as an end in itself, or if I do that, you know, just to glorify myself, then that is ultimately meaningless. But if I do that, understanding that this is a reflection of God's image, his image of creativity, his image of perfection, his image of faithfulness too, right, as a worker, right? I think if I do that and remember that, and I can really do my work as an offering to the Lord. So that's really the biggest lesson, right? And yeah, and once I've learned that, and I think the second lesson is then I can then see the people around me and I realize that they are lost, that they need a savior. You know, like I said, I see the attitudes of the people around me, and it can be very discouraging. But I think I need to come in. What God has taught me is I need to come in and really just feel compassion, right? Instead of being frustrated or disappointed about the flaws in my work environment, you know, I need to put on my spiritual glasses, right? I need to see that my coworkers are lost people, right? They're dead in their sins. They're like sheep without a shepherd, right? And they really are just chasing after the wind. You know, and so for me, as a Christian, as a believer, you know, I'm there to be his hands and feet of compassion. Right? I am there to seek and save the lost, to demonstrate the love of Christ. Right? Just remembering that we are the ones who have been rescued already. Right? And we are out there to share what we know to help those who are still lost. And in practical terms, sorry, I'm taking a lot of time, but in practical terms, you know, at my workplace, I'm a tech lead, which means I'm the most senior engineer on my team. And for me, modeling Christ means intentionally being a servant leader. You know, I'm not just there to make sure my team members do their work. You know, I could just go there and like make sure like all the tasks are done and hold everyone accountable to all those things. You know, but really, I see myself as being there to also get to know them personally, to be a mentor, to be a friend, even, right, to care for my teammates. And yeah, I mean, you know, it just so happened that last month I just transferred to a different team within Google. So as I was saying goodbye to my previous team, you know, I was really overwhelmed by all the kind words I received from them. So like, I just kind of had some quotes here. Some people were saying to me things like, you know, you were the most helpful and encouraging among my colleagues. You know, you always stand out for being so positive and always smiling. You know, thank you for listening to me so patiently every time we talk. Now, even my manager, my former manager, says, you know, you're the only person on the team who never asked me about promotions and career growth. You know, whenever we talk, you're always focused on, you know, the goals and welfare of the team. And again, I really want to emphasize, I'm not sharing this to receive glory for myself. Like, that is totally not the case. I did not do any of that by my own strength, but really just to give glory to God that he has helped me, you know, grow to at least, you know, try to be of a different spirit and present, you know, the values, the love, the compassion of God. Right? And like I said, I confess that I still struggle, but really I'm seeing God's gracious work through the Holy Spirit living in me, right, to help produce a little bit of that kind of fruit, right? And that's just been very, very encouraging. And I think, yeah, I think finally, really, at the end of the day, we need to have an eternal perspective, right? I mean, Silicon Valley has been around for, as the, you know, the tech hub of the world, it's been around for, what, 50 years, maybe a little bit more than that now, 70 years. But really, what's that compared to eternity? Right? Well, what is that compared to eternity? This is just the blink of an eye, right? So, or even just God's redemption story for the past few thousand years. You know, so I think having that eternal perspective really helps me remember what's ultimately the most important fruit that we're called to bear. So yeah, I mean, Silicon Valley, that isn't the promised land, right? So not just as the Israelites discovered, the physical promised land is only a shadow of the greater reality that's to come. But nevertheless, we as the church, we actually do bring the promised land. We actually do bring the aroma of Christ to those who are being saved. You know, we bring a different spirit. And I think we are the ones who are here to usher in the true promised land, like the kingdom of heaven here in our very midst. So, yeah, I think that's just what God has been doing in my life and some of the things that I've learned.
That's wonderful. Let's give Kelvin and Sapna a great hand. Thank you so much for sharing with us.
Just one point. I think we have another Googler, a friend from Singapore.
Vera. Oh, another Singaporean Googler.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome.
Like me, I used to come in the past. She's on a business visit.
All right, welcome. Yeah. All right, thank you. Next, I'm going to invite a few of our young adults to come up and share. Theo and Bao and Angus, if you can come up and share with us what God's been doing in your lives, that would be great. So why don't we go, Bob, why don't you share first, and then Theo, and then Angus.
Okay. Hi, I haven't shared in a while, but God's been doing a lot for me, a lot in my life, so the least I could do is share a little bit. God has saved me from a lot of stuff, saved me from a lot of trouble. I used to be really depressed, and I wasn't always a believer, so God has really saved me from depression and has also saved me from being on antidepressant medication. I was on that for a few years because at the time I thought I needed it. I wasn't a believer. I thought I needed it to deal with my parents and all the other stuff going on. And it's because of God that I got off and am staying off. Because on it, I was in a cycle, a pattern of getting a little bit better and then getting worse again. And yeah, I was never really grounded until I found Jesus. And yeah, God really does breathe life into me, and he changes the way I see things and what's important. And yes, recently, God opens doors. He gives me opportunities, as long as it's in accordance with his will. He opens doors to school, to work. I didn't think I'd ever go back to school, but I went back to school, and it was at the time it was kind of shaky whether or not I would get into these classes or school. But looking back, God did make it very seamless, and yeah, I found that as long as it's for God's will, then yeah, he opens doors and he is alive.
My name's Theo, and well, I'm going to share a little bit about what's this past year has been for me. But before I share that, I kind of have to share a little bit about before that, so I graduated from college in 2015. I majored in bioengineering down at UC Riverside, and then I moved home. And when I moved home, I tried to get jobs in biotech, but it really wasn't for me. So I decided to change fields completely and pursue physical therapy. So around for the past 2 years, I've been preparing to apply to physical therapy school, which really caught up to me because in undergraduate, you have to have a 3.0 GPA to apply, and I had below a 3.0 GPA. So I did have to do a lot of work. So for the past 2 years, I've been taking classes again, trying to raise my GPA, and I finally did last October. So last October, I began to start applying to physical therapy school, and I learned that this is an extremely vulnerable process. They have you write a lot of personal essays, do a lot of personal reflection, and so it's almost like, even though you qualify, it's like, do you really want to do this? And just that extra voice is enough to make you question, do I really want to do this? And so I found myself doing a lot of personal reflection and getting a little bit, you know, too deep into myself, very confused. And also along in that time frame, in October, I missed the deadline for 3 extremely valuable schools just by like a completely ridiculous error on my part. And so there were 3 schools that were local to this area. I really wanted to stay in the area, and I totally blew it because I was getting engaged the following weekend. So my head wasn't kind of in the right place. So that all happened around the same time. And I really felt like in this whole process, I was like, God, what are you doing? Like, these are the schools I wanted to go to. Like, now where am I going to go? What am I going to do? And I really felt like that window was closing for my life because I was like, I don't have the GPA. I don't have the credentials. I just don't think I'll get into school. And around the same time, my community was experiencing a lot of hardship. And so at this time, I really felt like God was using a lot of these things to make me begin to, I mean, now I can say that, but at that time, I really felt like everything was just going out of control. I was like, applications aren't good, none of my friends are in a good place, and I feel terrible, and I just really felt like, yeah, things were starting to get out of control. One of my reactions was to start taking control, which I realized is not really a great trait of my own, and has brought me a lot more pain than I realized. So, you know, I tried to, okay, maybe I can make my application better, you know, and I started to really dig in deep and say, okay, maybe there's another school I can apply to. But the more I tried to take control of a lot of those things, I think the more frustrated I became, the more kind of depressed and very, you know, self-focused, very anxious I became. Long story short, from there on, I really felt like God started to provide bit by bit in that season for me to hear his voice. I mean, I can only say that now looking back, but really in that season, I was like, man, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, just really lost, really confused. Like, should I even be going to school? I wasn't hearing back from schools. And looking back, God did really provide a lot of ways for me to begin to hear him. Some of those examples were Deeper Life Conference with Martin Sanders. And also Eric and Randy also held a soul care group for the men, and that was really impactful for me just to be able to process that with community. And even most recently, our young adult group Supernova went on a retreat these past couple, 2 weeks ago, and that really provided just some space and time to really reflect. And it was very dark. It was really confusing not to be able to understand, like, okay, God, where is my future going? Where am I going to go to school? What's going to happen for the next 3 years? But God truly does provide a way. And I hesitate to say that because it makes it sound like it's so pretty. But in truth, it was so messy. I mean, I think I cried like so many times. And I'm not a crier. But like when you're broken, you're broken. And I think, you know, God still manages to use some of the nastiest and horrible emotions in our life to speak to us, to provide a way in our lives. So some things I've learned from that this season is that healing does happen in community. And if you lack faith in your life about anything, if you lack faith about your direction, anything in life, if you have not enough faith, you need to lean on the faith of other people. You need to invite other people into that space, because you can become so self-focused and introspective, like you're never gonna reach out a hand and ask for help. And so healing does happen in community. Deep healing really does take time and patience. I think, like what Kelvin was alluding to, I think we're so used to like instantaneous, like, okay, God, you're teaching me this lesson and I've learned it. Okay, let's move on. But I think, you know, God is such a good father, and he doesn't want us just to do things right. He wants our heart to be right before him. And, you know, he sees through all of that. And I really felt like in this season, I've learned like waiting isn't wasted. For me, waiting revealed some of my greatest fears and needs. When I didn't have those idols to hold on to, like school and you know, friendship and all of those things to occupy my attention, God really revealed to me how deeply I needed healing in every single area of my life. And I think personally what I've learned is I don't ever want to assume, you know, and judge other people based on their actions or their attitudes, because I'm realizing from my own brokenness, man, everybody is broken. And I love that Calvin said that, like, it's not just like looking at other people, you can get so frustrated, you know, you can become so focused on holding people up to your own standard. But it's true, everybody is dealing with this level of brokenness that maybe you don't understand, or maybe you don't see the full picture. And so it's so easy to pass judgment on other people and say, oh, this guy, you know, what a terrible worker, or like, you know, this person is unreliable. But man, like, to look on other people and see them for who they truly are is you know, the first step to being able to actually build relationship and love another person. And so I would say I'm very fresh. I'm still learning in a lot of ways, and still allowing God into my life to really realign my heart. So thank you. Oh, and I did get into school. I'm going to school, yeah.
Awesome. Before I share, I just want to read a passage from Matthew 25, where it says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." And then, going on from there, basically the righteous just say, well, like, Lord, we didn't really see you. Like, how did you say that odd thing? And then the king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." We were talking about, our young adult small group was talking about living sacrificially. Just on the Friday, when I thought about what a sacrificial means, I think about there's a cost that I have to offer something up. I have to give up my time, I have to give up my energy, and I think it's more of living sacrificially means that I have to put in effort if I want to pursue a relationship with the Lord. It's not something that, oh, God will just throw down, you know, manna, meat, house, car, career, all at once to me. I have to put in the effort, not just to work, but also more to work on the relationship, to develop that relationship, to develop that closeness. And that takes a lot of work. And when I was thinking about the partnership when I was thinking about partnership, I experienced some hardship. I was like, I think it is very hard to put in the effort. It is very hard to put in the effort, not just with God, but with people too, to develop friendship and relationship with people. And I was listening to the song called For the One, So in the beginning is, let me be filled with kindness and compassion for the one. And then at the end of the first verse, it says, increase my love. And when I thought about it, I realized that, right, we actually have a capacity to love people, meaning that objectively, we only have so much capacity to care for people, and then it runs down. Funny enough that we also have, I mean, just to be honest, I have different capacities in loving different people. I think it's true for everyone too. I don't think I have the same capacity to love my family the same way that I do, you know, with my roommate, the same way that I do with workers, coworkers. And this is just an honest truth that I've learned. And but I think the song, what reminds me is that our life is to try to increase that capacity. And the way that we increase the capacity I've learned is to, let's see, accept people that have the same passion in pursuing the Father's love, while maybe there are differences in their characters. When there are character differences, a lot of time we thought about I thought about excluding those people. Like, oh, they are so different from me. Like, I don't know. Like, I know that, you know, we may have the same thing, but their characters are so different. I don't know if I can work with them together. And I think that mentality can turn easily into an us versus them kind of mentality. Is that we are not unifying people, we are differentiating people, and we are excluding people. More of, oh, we are okay, but you are not. Or like, oh, how come you are saying this to me? I don't feel like this is what I was saying, but you. There's start to be a wall building between you and the other person. And I think from there on, because of this differentiation, I have a lot of thoughts on, I have to have everyone that who is on my side to think like me, to operate like me, to have the same level of skills, the same level of think pattern, maturity, whatever aspect in life. And that's not the truth. I think that's totally not what God is calling us to do. He's not calling us to, I don't want to use the word colonizing, but we're not trying to change the way that they think to be the same level as us. We don't want all people on the same level. When there's no difference, I don't think there's growth when there's no differences. So from there on, I think to increase the capacity is to actually delight in that we have a pool of diverse culture and diverse skills, and that people are different in their skills. Some people are stronger. Some people need a little bit more help on this part, the other area of their life. And also that gave me the relief knowing that when I plan something, if let's say, you know, if I plan for a party, if I plan for a project, though I'm the initiator, I don't have to be the smartest person in the room that has all the ideas, that has all the plan A, B, C, D, whatever, WZS solution. Because we actually can use each other's strength to support each other. Kind of like when you nurture a plant, it needs water, sun, and also the soil. But in terms of physical properties, they are just so different from one another. And yet they're working together to nurture that plant. So this is the lesson that I've learned, is that I am learning to increase my capacity to love others, And I think to come out from this sharing, I think I just want to encourage anyone, if you experience any disappointments from friends or family, I just bless you to increase the capacity through knowing Jesus is the beginner of loving the unlovables. So that's all.
Give these young men a good hand. All right. Thank you, Bao, Theo, and Angus. We have one more sharing. Eric was supposed to be here with Vivian. Vivian is home, not sick, but she's home because Jesse has pink eye. So, Eric, I know you, Vivian, and the boys are about to go on an epic trip. So why don't you tell us, share with us a little bit more about how God led you and what you're going to be doing and where you're going. And
this Wednesday, our whole family is going to fly to Hong Kong, and then we're going to take the train into Guangxi. That's west of Guangdong province, where Shenzhen and Canton is. And so we will be there for 6 weeks. It's a 6 weeks long trip, and we will be back August 1st, and we'll be back in the area. From that point, we'll start a different life. I resigned again, and this time this time is final from my parents-in-law's business. I've been there for 10 years. Coming, if I remained until July, that would have been 10 years. And so it's been a long journey. It started probably 3 years ago, this dissatisfaction at work. Not with the work itself, but the way I was treated. I think up until that time, I'd always been treated with honor. And since that time, I've learned to just submit. I've learned to keep my mouth closed. I've learned to see the world differently. And I think one thing came to mind when it started, when it was happening, was the story of Samson and his... He said one day, I want to marry that Philistine. And his parents wondered why. And then there's this verse that says, but the parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was looking for an occasion to confront the Philistines who were ruling at the time. And I think without that, I probably would have stayed at the company. I've never left a company before. I've waited to be laid off. I've any relationships, girlfriends of the past, I've always let them break up with me. I kind of just make a decision and stick with it, no matter what. But this one is the first time I've had to actively decide. And I think it was God training me to really see the world in a certain way, where there's... time is short. I think people always say that, right? Time is short. And in this case, I feel that it's true. And so I looked at my family history. My parents became Christian as university students when they came over from China to Taiwan to the United States. And I wondered, what's the point? I mean, my parents now believe, and then they've set a nice financial foundation. What do we do? Do we just enjoy that, or do you just keep that cycle going? There's another verse, the parable of the sower, where some seed fell among thorns. I never considered myself as that kind of soil. I always thought, hey, I'm the good soil, right? These are bad soils. I'm not like that. But you know, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, I think I ask myself, well, if I don't do anything more than that, I am only trying to take care of the worries of this life and trying to gain more wealth, which it's deceitful in the sense that we just keep trying to get more and more. I ask myself, when is it enough? Will it ever be enough? I've seen people just keep going, and when they're extremely rich, but they can't stop. So I thought, I can't be like that. I don't want to be. I don't want to be like that. And one funny story, this kind of helped me understand the deceitfulness of wealth, was There's also another verse, don't store up treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But instead, Jesus said, store up treasures in heaven. And I have a nice house, and I have a really nice wool carpet squares. And one time we just thought, oh, my son is not taking care of his socks. There's all this sock, whatever, I don't know what you call that around there. But that ended up being like a moth-infested area. And that was a very expensive carpet. We have to, well, we kept it, but we have to vacuum it all the time. And it's been eaten up. And we also have a nice roof, a foam roof that is white and, you know, keeps our house insulated and reflects the sunlight. One part of it's rusting. So I thought, I spent all this money on this nice carpet and this nice roof, but still I have to worry about it. I can't move on beyond that. And so it really started rolling when last year at Missions Conference, I heard something. I heard these words. You know, we can attribute it to God or myself. I'm not sure, but the words were, "It's time. It's time." It's as simple as that. And so I thought, okay, let's get going. So we wanted to hatch this strategy. I've already resigned so many times. They call my bluff every time. I can never do it. and so we said, we need to go somewhere far away, not too short, and because of our kids, not too long. And so LSV, Livingstones Village, it's an orphanage that our church supports. We send people to help. They're on the board of directors. Now this is the place. You know, in fact, when we first got into coffee, we said, let's go to LSV. They've always wanted to set up a coffee shop. Let's go help them. And then we said, well, we don't know anything about coffee. That was 3 years ago. Let's start learning. And by now, we've gotten better. Coffee's not so bitter anymore. But Elliot already started the coffee shop last year. We're just going there to offer our services. And it'll give us a time to rest. We're also going to be listening to the Lord about the next steps. When I come back, what is it that we'll be doing? So it's been a long journey. Thank you for supporting me. I do want to say a couple more things that I remembered. There was the time in December when Pastor Elliot asked for anyone who needed healing, and at the time I had a cough or I had lost my voice. And when he prayed, you know, I didn't know how much anxiety I had held for those 9 years, 9.5 years. But when I received the prayer, the anxiety in my heart, it subsided for a little while, maybe like a minute, and then I felt it again. And I knew that I didn't realize at the time that I had lived with so much anxiety, and that led to my food allergies. I think you've heard, as time has passed, I've certain food groups I haven't been able to consume, dairy, chicken, eggs, citrus. But that new guy we hired at the company, once he accepted, all that went away. You know, it was amazing. And he's a gift from the Lord. I don't know if he's Christian or not, but he's heard that I have a certain last day or I'm leaving. And I never really explained to him. We had lunch and I explained to him. And he was okay with that. He's very capable. He truly is a gift from God and has allowed my anxiety or my worries, my allergies together with to go away. And there's one more verse. This one, I think many of you know, and we know that God, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. Our theme today seems to be God is good, and, you know, it's been a long journey. I think if I had short-circuited the journey at any point prior to this point now, I would have missed out on a lot of the goodness. I would have done it my way. It would have destroyed family relationship. There could have been a lot of collateral damage. And so as we wait, we try to discern the Lord's purpose. I want to bless you that even when life is not going that well, no matter how long it is, I know that many of you have been through things much longer than years, it could be decades, in fact, that there's healing. You know, I think being able to share with the community, being able to say I need prayer, being able to say I have a problem, being able to admit that we need the Lord, that I need the Lord, that has really helped a lot. So thank you for walking alongside of us. We'll be back in August, and thank you for your prayers.
All right. Before we close today, we're going to all together pray for Eric and Vivian and the boys as they venture out to Livingstone's Village. If you guys can come out of your seats and just surround our brother, and then we'll, if you feel led to pray, we'll just pray for him. And then in a little bit, we'll ask Pastor Ted to close us. Just come out of your seats, gather around our brother and his family. God, we thank you for Eric, Vivian, Daniel, and Jesse. We thank you, Lord, for the journey that you have been calling them on and leading them on. Father, we just thank you, God, for them taking the step of faith and quitting his job and really desiring to hear your voice, Lord, desiring to know that it's time. Lord, we bless you, Eric and Vivian and Daniel and Jesse, as you go to LSV this Wednesday. We bless you not only with God's protection, but with God's heart, that you would know his heart, that you would see his heart even in China, that even as you serve, as you wait, as you listen, that the Lord's heart would be impressed upon your hearts, and that you would come back not only revived and refreshed, but come back with a sure sense of God's direction and leading in your lives. We bless you to continue to be free of all of those things, of worries, of financial commitments, of just even allergies, that you would continue to receive the healing from Abba Father as Jesus continues to reform you and reshape you and just transform you into his image.
I pray the Lord bless you, Eric and Vivian. I know I'll be missing you, so I need blessings too. And I just want to say how much I appreciate that you've been my guide since I came back to God after 35 years. And Vivian is important. And I'm really glad for the work you'll be doing, and I can't wait for you to come back to us.
Eric and Vivian, we bless you with freedom from the Lord, that you would not be constrained by things that you put on yourself or constrained by perceptions of what you should and should not do, but that you would have the freedom, the true freedom from Jesus. And so we pray that during these 6 weeks that it would be a time to release those wings. So I just see a picture of like a large bird kind of unleashing wings. And so, God, we just pray for that freedom that the Lord gives us so graciously to be released.
Mm-hmm. Eric, I see the word witness. I hear the Lord saying that this is a time that the Lord would want you to rest and just witness what only he can do, that you're powerless without him. And that during this time, he will increase your faith and he will give you the desires of your heart. Witness.
God bless you, Eric, to know that God heard your hunger and heard hurt your desire for him. Yeah, he listened to every single word that you prayed to him. He knows your need. He knows what you're desiring.
And I just bless you to know that for this journey, you will experience what you ask from God, because he's just such a good father. When you ask him, he will just give it to you. There's no hiding. There's no withhold. So God will just unleash his goodness in this trip. And wow, it's just so awesome to know that your heart will so be connected with God after this trip.
Father, we heard through so many people tonight, through so many stories, that you do not waste our pain, and you do not waste our waiting. Lord, in our waiting, that indeed you reveal our anxiety, our fears, and it is also in our pain that you allow us to experience your goodness and your healing. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for this honest testimony of how you have shaped and guided our hearts, Lord, in this season. And Lord, as we lay our hands on Eric and Vivian and Daniel and Jesse, that as they enter into this another season of waiting, Father, we look forward to what you will lay as a foundation for their next chapter. That instead of anxiety and fear, we know that you're going to fill their hearts with joy and hope of the future, that you are going to birth dreams in their hearts, Lord, to really look forward in this next season. And that, Lord, we want to join in whatever you have in store for them in this next season, Lord. So, Lord, we just pledge our hearts, Lord, to intercede for them in this next season. And, Lord, we do pray for time of rest for their soul, time of deep restoration, time of just envisioning what you have prepare for them in this next season, Lord. So we pray for your protection to be upon their family as they travel, and that every moment of this next 6 weeks, Lord, will be just filled with joy and memories, Lord, that will really take them to the next level. So we're just thankful for what you're doing in their lives, and Lord, and we look forward to what will come out of our prayer and what you will bear through their lives in this next season. In the name of Jesus, we pray all these things. Amen. Amen.